Good morning. Today is April 19th. We're happy to be with you today. Thanks for joining us. We're going to kick off the service. We've got a special thank you. We've got some April birthdays to celebrate. And what else?
Lots of April birthdays, right? And a couple of songs. We've got a message and then sharing communion as well. So, again, we just want to thank you for joining us in our home for what our oldest daughter has now named. We're going to rename it, I
Okay,
think.
what
I don't
is
know if it's
it?
official, but it's Sermons in Slippers.
Sermons and slippers.
Because we're in slippers. So we hope you enjoy today, and we'll look forward to being in your living room as you're in our kitchen with us today.
Jealous for me, lands like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh,
he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Many of you have asked how you can help support our church, and so there's three main ways you can do that. You can mail it to us, you can check out our website, or you can also just drop it in the mail slot at the actual physical location, so we can get things there if it's in an envelope and marked for VCC. So those are the three ways you can help. And I know, Jeremy, you have another thing that you want to tell people.
Yeah, and I want to make a point on that, because we have had a number of people ask us about that. And I can tell you that in this time, you know, our expenses have dropped off a little bit, but not much. We've kept everyone employed, which does not include us. We believe it or not, we don't take any money from the organization. We try to give as much of this away as we possibly can to people who need it, which is why we'd encourage you, if you feel compelled to do so, please do. If you're a regular attender of ours, and you're able to, we want, you
our
know,
our operation
we would ask
costs
to do that,
are
so.
Down, but our outreach costs are
our
up.
Our outreach costs are up, so people who are in need. So
we've been helping several people right now in critical times of their lives. So,
yeah. And so if you're so inclined to do that, and as always with us, with our church, or if you have, you know, you're in an uncertain job situation, if you are challenged on rent or prescription or food, or, you know, you got kids at home and you got to figure out how to feed them and you don't have lunch.
Don't think twice
about it. Just, you need to spend that with your family. You need to take care of what you need to take care of at home. We'll be okay. But for those of you that can help, we certainly appreciate it. And another thing that we're going to start releasing in some of the videos, probably not this week. I don't think we'll have it done for this particular message, although maybe, is we use an organization called Faith Life. That's faithlife.com. They host our website. They host our messages. They are where we get together as groups. They do our finances. They do everything else. And there are some features that are available to anyone who's a member of the Valley Christian Church group, not just following, but an actual approved member. There are some features available, similar things like Faith Life TV, which is kind of like a Netflix, like a Christian Netflix.
Sure.
Access to all of their training programs, and not just training, but Bible study material, different videos. They have classroom, like they have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of official classroom like courses that they have. All of that's available to anyone who's a member. So when you go to our webpage, there will be an option that you'll see where you can log in. If you haven't created an account before, we'd
super
encourage you
easy.
To do so. Very easy to do. I'll see that you have made an account, and then I can make you a member in there, and you can begin to participate. You can belong to different groups. You can, in fact, for the nerds love this, because I'm a nerd. But for some of us who use Bible study tools like Logos, Logos is what it's called, for anyone who's a member, they have access to the same Bible study tool that I use and tens of thousands of other scholars and people use around the world to study scripture. That's all free. It's included in the subscription that we have as a church. And we can extend it up to, I think, 100 or 150 people no additional cost.
Yeah, we'd love to see you use it. It's a platform a lot like Facebook. So if you have figured out Facebook at this point, very similar. You can have a post that comes in. You can add some prayer requests or praises in there. You can get announcements, any kind of news. So that's kind of a way we are going to be able to reach you in a different way. And we can continue using that when we are back to church, which hopefully will
and,
be soon.
And the good thing is, for those of you who do give, who are givers, that's where all of your financial giving is actually stored.
So you can access
your statements right there. You can change the amount you want to give. You can be a regular contributor, whatever it may be.
And you can set up to be like an online giver. Is that what
exactly,
you're saying?
Exactly. Just automatically repeating to do that. So it's a great platform. We're going to put out some additional material on that that will be separate, which will be me hopefully trying to show you how to use it, because it can be a little overwhelming at first. But as Kara said,
once you get signed up for it, it's pretty intuitive. You'll be able to figure out how that works.
The Facebook reference is perfect because I have no idea how to use Facebook and she does. So when she was asking me questions about certain things, I'm like, I don't know. And that's when I knew this might be a good tool to be able to use with our church. So with that, look for some more information on that. We'll do some direct emails to some of you so you can look at those videos and learn how to get signed up and use those tools and features. So with that, we want to say thank you. And again, for all of you who are asking how you can support us, you can do that as well. We'll welcome it. And just know that it will go to good causes, good people, people in need. And
it's a secure site. It's a secure platform.
Yes.
So.
And for those of you who have done that, thank you very much. The people who were able to help, we get to be the
wish makers.
Who are the wish makers. But anytime we do that, they know that it's from the really gracious and generous support of people within our congregation and for those around the country who support us. So thank you. God bless you. And we look forward to spending some more time with you.
Happy birthday, Jen.
Happy birthday, Jen. It's cold out here. Let's go to Houston.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
To start off with a story this morning that has been viral on Facebook. So I hope you actually haven't heard it yet and you can experience it for the first time here. So here we go. Have you ever noticed how in the scriptures, men are always going up to the mountains to commune with the Lord? Yet in the scriptures, we hardly ever hear of women going to the mountains. And we know why, right? Because women are too busy keeping life going. They couldn't abandon babies, meals, homes, fires, gardens, and a thousand responsibilities to make that climb up the mountain. I was talking to a friend the other day, saying that as a modern woman, I feel like I'm never free enough for my responsibilities, never in a quiet enough or holy enough spot to have the type of communion I want with God. Her response floored me. That is why God comes to women. Men have to climb the mountains to meet God, but God comes to women wherever they are. I've been pondering on her words for weeks and have searched my scriptures to see that what she said was true. God does indeed come to women where they are, where they're doing their ordinary everyday work. He meets them at the wells where they draw water for the families, in their homes, in their kitchens, and in their gardens. He comes to them as they sit beside sick beds, as they give birth, care for the elderly, and perform necessary mourning and burial rites. Even at the tomb, Mary was the first to witness Christ's resurrection. She was there because she was doing the womanly chore of properly preparing Christ's body for burial. In these seemingly mundane and ordinary tasks, these women of Scripture found themselves face to face with divinity. So if you, like me, ever start to bemoan the fact that you don't have enough time to spend in the mountains with God as you would like to, remember, God comes to women. He knows where we are and the burdens we carry. He sees us, and if we open our eyes and our hearts, we will see him, even in the most ordinary places and in the most ordinary things. He lives. And that was written by Heather Farrell.
Wow. Yeah, I guess you don't really think about it much, but that's true, how people find where people find themselves, you know, in Scripture and how that relates to today. Why did that resonate with you?
Well, I think everyone in families plays different roles, but for women, it's trying to capture that quiet time, that time where you can hear yourself think and breathe and have that conversation with God, whether it's a prayer or a plea of desperation. Are you there? One of my favorite books, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. So I thought that was really powerful. And I saw a lot of people sharing that story because I think people feel like at this point they would like to commune with God probably even more than ever, but it's just challenging.
It's challenging. It is, because you've either got little ones scurrying in or you've got work bearing down.
I mean, a lot of people are in different places in their lives, and they can you know, enjoy that quiet time or that communion together. I know for, you know, people who are juggling a lot and homeschooling and that kind of thing, it's a lot. And so I think in this time, it's easy for people to wonder, how do I feel closer to God during a time like this, right? Because there's times in life where you feel close. You know, Sundays are easy, right? You get to show up to church. You feel, you know, really filled up by the message or the music, and maybe get to spend some time with family, and you get to kind of have a relaxing day. And that's not always the, you know, where's the Monday Jesus, right?
Monday Jesus.
The Monday Jesus where you're, you know, starting it all over again. Here we go. You know, some people have this Saturday or Sunday night anxiety, like, oh, here we go again. Yeah. So where's that Monday Jesus? How do we, you know, connect and make that relationship, you know, thrive during a difficult time like this?
Yeah, that's again, a big question. It's a challenge for people to figure out how to do. And I think when you shared this with me and I read it, you gave me some heads up on what the topic was. And I began to think about, yeah, the women who do meet God through Scripture, oftentimes, it's in very many different circumstances, but often, yeah, they're not headed off on purpose to a mountain where they've carved out a certain period of time, or, you know, we know what's going to occur, or, hey, come on up here. Mm-hmm. It is often in a moment of grief or sorrow, sure, or, you know, shame,
sadness,
or sadness, sure, or something.
Desperation, and in many cases.
Yeah, God just seems to show up in those moments in the scriptural stories. And what's interesting is we don't see a lot of occasions in Scripture where people are just going about their business.
Right.
And so we have to somehow or kind of look in there and fill in the gaps a little bit as to what that looks like in a busy world like we have today. Mm-hmm. I don't think the authors had any idea of a world at this kind of pace and speed that we work with. And it makes it very hard to see that in there. But and so I think your question was, how do we connect when we
how are you able to connect during times where it doesn't feel good, right? There's nothing, there's not a whole lot out there in our current, you know, environment that feels really good, unless you're seeking it out, which I totally recommend.
Well, one thing that I think people can struggle with is, or at least I could speak for myself that I can struggle with, is seems to be this battle within me occasionally of I would like to go ahead and grab a stack of Oreos and, you know, a tall glass of almond milk.
I am not winning that battle, let me just tell you right now.
and go sit down and just rewatch all 7 hours of Tiger King. And just detach, just completely pull back and detach. And at some point during that period, I'm going to have to begin to battle off these thoughts of, well, you know, you could be doing, you know, you should be doing, well, you know what you could. And it's just, and all of the sudden,
we all need ways to numb out. Sometimes.
I'm kind of in an internal battle now where I'm stuck. I know, gosh, this would be a good time to stop and maybe, you know, go talk with one of the kids or go spend some time with you or go for a walk. Thank goodness some of the toe pain has gone away so I can start doing that. But you just get to a point where now you want to push everything out. And even that, you start to get saturated with feelings of, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be, you know, there's, you begin to guilt yourself into feeling bad about just taking a moment.
Sure.
And I think that it's okay. There isn't, one of the examples I like in scripture is in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. Many times, now he goes to a mountain. So let's just set that aside for a moment, but let's look at the act. There are oftentimes Jesus will withdraw. He will withdraw and especially from the crowds, he will withdraw from that busyness. Because if you can imagine the number of people who are just surrounding and clamoring and there and the energy.
I wonder if he was a secret introvert.
It makes you wonder sometimes, right? And he will withdraw, and it'll say to a mountain. And that's, you know, there's reason for that language in there, or to a garden. Mm-hmm. Sometimes with his 12, sometimes with just the three, sometimes by himself. Mm-hmm. And he intentionally takes that moment to do it. Here's one of the things that's interesting, though, is that it never indicates, except when he's in the garden before his arrest, mm-hmm. you don't get a sense on how long he spent there. There isn't really ever a defined time period. And so for me, this doesn't always resonate with everybody, but for me, I'm able to carve out small moments in a day. Mm-hmm. And try to connect in those particular moments along the way and not beating myself up over, you know, this isn't a dedicated hour of time. This isn't a dedicated, you know, I'm not doing an hour of study and then an hour of prayer and then an hour. I don't know why everything has to be an hour personally or a half. Why do we have to break it into an increment?
Dang that Franklin Covey.
Right? exactly. I missed that. Started 4 minutes late. But I think just being somewhat intentional and then letting the time period be flexible, mm-hmm. just that moment of being intentional is one way to do it. I think the beautiful thing about this is that it's not true just for you know, women, but men find themselves in this situation too, mm-hmm. where they have not been able to make time to go do that, and God shows up on the scene for them too. Mm-hmm. I think of David, who's constantly on the run. Constantly on the run, God's meeting him right where in caves, wherever he may be, God will show up and
really
meet him too.
It's really more looking at the nature of a God and the nature of humans, right? So if things don't go our way, or we're not hearing back on the timetable we want, then we start sometimes reflecting, well, maybe God's not there.
Bingo.
Right?
So maybe
he's
exactly
not there. He's not listening. He's not. I mean, there are times I want a skywriter. That would be nice. An email, an alarm, text. That would be awesome. But it can sometimes, when you're going through a season like that, it can feel like you're very alone and like, where is God? But maybe it's about taking a step back and looking at what you believe about the nature of God.
And you landed exactly on the point. Is when we are challenged, when we're feeling that pressure, that burden, whatever it may be, whether it be grief or joy, it doesn't really, when we feel far, separated, mm-hmm. like God's not there, I think often people will default into somehow they're doing something wrong, and they will kind of drop back and say, well, God isn't, he wouldn't want to see me like this. Like, this
sure.
isn't how he wants me
right.
to be. And so you kind of talk yourself into being unacceptable.
Right. Or you have to be perfect before you come
exactly.
to God.
Exactly. And then
which
you,
none of us are.
You just let that image of, well, God wouldn't want to be with me, right? I don't want to be with me right now. Why would he want to be with me right. right now? And you talk yourself into the distance.
So it's really about the nature of who you believe God is. I heard yes. something this week that was profound, and it was like, God can handle your skepticism. He already knows who you are. Right.
Yes.
And that sounds kind of maybe something you've never thought about, but I think it comes to what do we believe about yeah. the God we pray to?
It's an important question in that relationship. I'll try to end it with this, but I think often mm-hmm. we look back on, we as Christians, we look back into those first few pages of Scripture, and what we see in our mind and what we see for that period of time is this image of perfection. What God made was perfection.
Sure.
It wasn't. It's two words. It was very good. And in the next page, you find out that there's something that is not good, and that is that this man is alone.
Sure.
So even in the
right.
world that God has put together,
right.
he finds something that he can make that improvement on. And we carry forward that
the
stress.
The improvement being women, correct?
Well, 100, well, yeah. I
just
won't,
nod.
You're wanting me to go, I want to go into that word because it's a really cool word. But we carry that into our time today, that somehow is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't meet up to that standard, then somehow God doesn't want to have anything to do with us.
Sure.
I would propose that God, when he utters the words to put creation into motion and get all of this going, I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to step way out on a limb and say he probably had an idea of how this is going to go. And he's taken every step he can to stay in touch and in contact with humans, to have a relationship mm-hmm. with humans in the manner and the way that he has always sought, which is together with him. He's given us every reason to believe that he wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to partner with us to go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And he is fully aware.
I think everyone just
into.
Assumes that he wants you to rise to be your best self in a crisis. And not everyone can do that.
Well, that's what we want things like presidents to do.
We're not going to go there.
Or congresspeople or anyone else. But I think that's an unfair. I think that can be a good thing. Mm-hmm. That can be a good goal, a mm-hmm. good vision.
Sure.
But it becomes very unfair if we try to judge ourselves against other people
right.
or even, you know, this creation that God put in motion. It's never fair to judge yourself against someone else. You can only judge yourself against yourself.
Right.
And then understand that God knew exactly what he was getting into
sure.
when he got into you.
And, you know, also you kind of think about the opportunity of God showing himself during a time like this, right? I mean, you've heard, you know, my grace is all you need. You've heard mm-hmm. my power works best in weakness. And so maybe this is just an opportunity to see more of God if we have our eyes open, if we're looking for it in different
sure.
ways.
Sure.
Maybe it's not on a mountain. Maybe it's while you're making mac and cheese for your kids.
Did not see the face of Mary or any Jesus
any
or anyone
Jesus
else
toast.
In the mac and cheese I made for Poppy. Just, I want to be clear.
You know, maybe it's in those more ordinary
yes,
moments.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think when you consider everyone comes to an understanding of God in their own realm, that's from their child, from their, maybe their parents or not their parents or friends or something like that.
Their experience defines how they're going to relate.
Everyone's experience of what God, what the nature of God is, looks different. And so really maybe turning to that to discover what that is what we should do during a time like this. And then, you know, I think also leveling with God is not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's people who can do very eloquent prayers, and then there's people who can just sob and scream. I'm one of the latter. But, you know, I think having that gut level, honest conversation is maybe what we all need right now.
Yeah. I know you wanted to read something there, it looks like. But...
Well, no, there was just some things I took. And this is kind of a funny story. We, on the last day of school, we headed to the library and got some things for the kids. And on my way out, I see this book. And I literally didn't even look. I just saw the title and I was like, oh, I'll take that. And it's called It's Okay Not to Be Okay. And it's kind of funny that I've had this book for an extended period of time now, so the library can't find me. But it's pretty good. And I would recommend it if anyone is looking for something to...
I'll kind of like fuzzy your face out so the library doesn't know who it is. So.
They know me. Trust me. Just look at the fine list. I would like to say I'm a donor to our library because... I might have some trouble getting them back on time. But one of the things that they had talked about was, you know, starting by telling God the whole truth. You know, start with something, right? So maybe you write God a letter. Maybe you have this tough conversation. Find a quiet place to walk or that. And so I think there's different ways we can try to reach out when maybe it doesn't seem obvious that maybe he's listening or he hears you or he knows you. I think this might be I think for believers, it can be a terribly tough time to, you know, walk through a time like this. For those who don't believe, I can't imagine, you know, we do have some hope there. And maybe drawing closer to him is kind of about getting back to basics. I do think there's certain Christians that will think, well, that means I've got to wake up at 6 o'clock with my Jesus calling and I've got to do an hour of prayer and in my prayer closet. And I've got to do an hour of scripture. And maybe it's not all about that. I mean, not that those things aren't good. That just may not be realistic for someone right now. And so... Maybe it's just about finding those quiet, still moments.
I believe that. I'm not saying what I do is for everyone. And I think when you had said how it's important to let our experiences guide us a little bit with that, or I would probably rephrase that to say from what I just said, our experiences should inform us as to how we may interact with the God who put all of this into motion. And it's dangerous, I think. Well, that's a strong word. It's unwise, I'll say, to look at biblical characters and begin to formulate our lives based upon what they did, because they're writing from a very different time.
Sure.
They're in very different experiences. Oftentimes, they're writing about coming face to face or being in contact with God in a way that we aren't. It's not laying down the standard of here's how you need to behave as a woman
in
Scripture.
Sure, I think religions can, you know, beat people over the head that it's a moral guide and compass. And to that I say, well, which marriage are we going to look at? Are we going to look at David's marriage? Are we going to look at Abraham's marriage? I mean, so...
Yes, that was one of the best examples we ever... Yeah, if you're going to talk about marriage with teenagers, whose marriage? Solomon's? All the teenage boys are going to be all about that.
So not to say there aren't lessons there, right?
Right.
But we need to be looking at the nature of God or Jesus and what the message is there, right? Maybe not. And the interesting thing I would say is we did kind of do a deep dive. We started a deep dive in the Bible last year. And when I was reading more of the Old Testament, which was new for me, I realized that the judgment of the stories I always remembered was my own judgment. I wasn't reading judgment. It was the judgment I had grown up with or heard or learned or whatever.
Right.
And I was kind of surprised to see it wasn't in there.
Right.
Which is kind of interesting. So we all kind of come up with our version of God and who that is, the maker and creator of author of life.
And that's not to say that, I mean, Jesus is clearly...
Well, he's giving lessons for sure. And those are the moral lessons we can take. But we can also examine our own beliefs
yes,
about
right.
where are we arriving at the nature of God?
Yeah, that was...
Where is that coming from? Who is that? And maybe if you don't know, maybe that's a good time to ask.
Yes.
You know, I will tell you, I do have a lot of experience with God just showing off. So if you are a skeptic or a doubter, I guarantee you, say a prayer and your life will be changed and he will spend the rest of your life.
Careful what you
showing
pray
off.
For. It may just happen.
So, I mean, I don't know. That was just, I think people right now are maybe a little on the polar opposites. They're either mm-hmm. feeling more close to God than they've ever been, or they're wondering, hey, anyone there?
Anybody there?
Anybody yeah. there? So if that is happening to you, maybe kind of consider the nature of who you believe God is. Reach out to someone who you really kind of admire, who has a relationship with God. Maybe learn from mm-hmm. them. And if you're on the other side of the spectrum where you are feeling closer than ever, look around your circle and see if anyone's struggling.
And don't
open a conversation.
And for goodness sakes, if you're the one who, you know, you walk in faith and strength all the time, and you know, there is nary a thing that will ever throw you off, for goodness sakes, don't make people feel bad if they're feeling
sure.
nervous or far or distant. I had an opportunity to be on a podcast this week.
That's right.
And that was one of the things I mentioned was, we're not really in charge of the time frame of how people interact and mature and grow up in their faith and trust in Christ.
I'm
certainly not in charge of that with anybody I'm around.
Right.
Although there are times I wish I were, especially with the little ones, like 4 through about 19, I would say would be fantastic. But regardless, the whole point out of that I really resonated with me. I thought a lot about what I said after the podcast, thinking, gosh, that was some good advice that just came out, was the patience, the approach of mm-hmm. being patient with yourself as you journey through this and being patient with others. So if you are someone who is walking in faith, that patience you show to someone else, that is a quality of God that he's asking you to have with
sure.
people. Giving them the room and the space to go through whatever they're going through. And we were talking about fence sitters in the podcast, and being willing to just sit on a fence with someone and not have to take a position, really, you know, stand up and take that position, can help someone feel closer, kind of find their way mm-hmm. to that Jesus that will actually reveal that peace and that kindness and that trust and that security that really comes in a relationship mm-hmm. with him. And that's important. So, you know, a few things that I've thought about as we've been talking here is, you know, you can set some prayer time, but be reasonable about it. Set it. If you've never been one to pray, okay, just set a timer on your phone for like 90 seconds and just start with that. And when you're done at 90, stop. And just, you know, take a step. Try that once or twice a week. Just that intentional, that moment of saying, I'm going to capture this moment and intentionally do it, but I'm not going to hold myself to this, I've got to stop and pray for a half hour.
Sure, at a given time. Although I don't get out of bed until I pray.
Right.
And that is my excuse why I'm in bed so long. I can't get out of bed.
Not going to go
there. We have lots of conversations.
You do.
Long conversations every morning.
Sometimes you drift in and out of slumber as you have that conversation.
Maybe. It's peaceful talking to God.
I have discovered that for those who know, you know, what that, when the Spirit gives you the words to utter when you don't, sometimes it sounds like sleep.
A snore.
But that's one, and same thing with study. Don't, you know, we had started that study a while ago. And then some things unfolded that just wouldn't allow us to continue that for a little bit. We put it on hold.
Mm-hmm.
And we just said, you know what? It's on hold for a while. That's the beautiful thing. When you said God can handle your skepticism, mm-hmm. Scripture can handle that too.
Sure.
It's not something that's demanding you to complete something by a certain time. It's inviting you into this story, to participate in the story, to see where you play in this story. And it's a lifetime of learning. It's the whole thing is built. This relationship is built on a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And it's not just our lifetime here, but a lifetime in eternity going forward too. So we have a lot of time. We do. We have a lot of time if we see forward in faith with what our futures look like. And so setting a goal of something small, just take 5 minutes, learn one new thing, you know, a day, or one new thing a week. If you do one a week, you got 50 new things you've learned in a year that you didn't know before.
Sure.
And pretty soon you will start to see those little things come
in.
And it's not, and you're not killing yourself over, well, I did 59 minutes instead of 1 hour and got...
So, maybe it's kind of like maybe political affiliations, right? You a lot of people inherit what their family does. So in a religious setting, they might believe, well, they have to do what their mom did or what their grandma
did.
Yeah. Or what their dad did. And so we're going to just get that Etch-a-Sketch and just give it a good shake, and say, let's start with a clean slate.
Yeah.
Try something new this week. You know, if you've got lots of things to say to God, get out a notepad,
get in a closet and close the door and let it out.
Sure. Yeah. Or take a walk. And I know a lot of people do prayer walk. So I guess I don't know a lot, but I do know that when we can carve some time out and we can ask the right questions and seek the answers that we need, I think there's a voice there.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. That I appreciate you sending that that story to me, the blog entry there, and letting me kind of look at it. It was some insight that I, I may not have considered unless I had read it. And so I appreciated that, and appreciate you being willing to kind of bring some of that forward today for us too. We want to, you know, always do what we can to give you some things to think about, but not put a whole lot of pressure on you. And we want you to just understand that we can't, it's not enough to just say these things will pass and we'll be back to normal. This is an opportunity for each of us to really kind of to look inward and examine who we are, what we're doing, who we believe in. And if there are some very minor, easy things to change over this period of time, then we can do that. And also understand that God is not expecting you to come with perfection. As you said, He's not expecting you to, there's no time. Although I haven't seen it, I'm fairly certain there's no checkbox in heaven for attendance, not attendance, studied this much, didn't this much, prayed this much, didn't that, did this with friends, didn't do that. You know, were you a knee prayer? Were you a stander? Were you, did you sing the songs? Did you not sing the song? Did you do communion? Did you not? There's no checklist. Mm-hmm. There's no big database in heaven for that.
Report card.
What God is looking for, this whole story is about God connecting with humans. Mm-hmm. And He has set aside this lifetime and the one to come to do that. And he has made that arrangement impossible, made that possible through Christ so that we can now have that relationship. And He invites us into that, and He knows exactly.
He knows
exactly who you are.
He can meet us where we are because He knows where we're at.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we hope and trust that that you are walking with your Creator, that you are doing what you can to spend whatever time you can that's available, just continuing on that journey of faith with you and your loved ones, and doing that in patience and in kindness.
So. And we're greatly humbled that we have a lot of viewers outside of just our VCC community who have not been to church in a while, or it kind of freaked them out, and they're joining us online. So we just want to thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you. And we've heard from
giving
a few of you.
Church a chance.
And
Kitchen church,
right? Exactly.
Sermons with slippers.
Sermons, yeah. What was it she said? Sermons in slippers. Yes.
Okay.
Or slipper sermons. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to play with that a little bit, but I really like it. Don't go out and get that domain if it's available, please. Do me a solid. Show me some kindness, okay? Just kidding. So we hope you've enjoyed the time with us today, and we look forward to doing that again. We're going to pray and include you in our prayer with us, and then we'll return again shortly with some communion. So you can pray with us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for our time today. We are grateful that you have made these technologies and systems available that we can share our time with others. Father, we're grateful that they have given their time to this as well. And we would just ask and hope that you've been able to turn our words and our time into something that is valuable for them, into something that lifts their hearts, that brings them wisdom, that gives them courage to go through these things. Father, we would just ask that you would impress upon everyone who is listening that you are looking to relate with them. You have no great, huge expectations other than that they just follow you, that they just continue to build and work on that relationship with you at whatever pace is allowed to make that happen. Father, we want to thank you for everyone who is out there. We ask that you be with them, that you protect them, guide them, and that you just continue to hold them. And for those who have gone through some loss during this time, Father, we would just ask that you would bring your peace. You would bring just the comfort of your hand into their heart and hold them through this time. Father, we love you. We thank you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you for joining us again. We're doing communion a little differently. We've got cookie communion today.
We're trying it out. You use whatever you have.
Yes, you use whatever you have as well. And this is the kind of communion that our kids would love to do. Now, communion, we use that word, and oftentimes it has this connotation of we're in some kind of a building. It's kind of formal-ish. There's a process. We do the same thing that we've done for thousands upon thousands of years. And for some, this may feel or seem very strange, almost sacrilegious. But
we are out of the wafers.
We are, yeah.
So we're using what we have. And I think God can appreciate that.
Well, if he can handle our skepticism, if he can handle our challenges, I mean, then I think he can handle this. But what we want you to know is that communion, it's a really simple thing. Jesus said, as often as you get together to do something like this, just remember me. Just remember what I did. And not every community, not every family had everything available. In the first century church, these were massive potluck type gatherings. People brought what they could, what they had, if they had anything to bring, and it was shared among the group. So it was not just simple, you know, bread and wine at the time. When they write about it, communion, it is a big deal. It's a really big deal for them. And so for us today, we are going to celebrate with what we have and do this just remembering what was done for us, what was done for us by Jesus on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. God bless you. We appreciate you spending some time with us today and hope you've enjoyed a little communion with us with whatever you had around the house. And we look forward to being back in your homes, hopefully, again next week. So God bless you and have a good week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.